Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with David Rebuck, the director of the New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement, for our annual review of the progress of the state regulatory process in overseeing land-based and online gaming, and now sports betting. The GGB podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online gaming and now sports betting in North America. For more information, visit iGamingPlayer.com/join. Dave Rebuck has been the director of New Jersey's Division of Gaming Enforcement since 2011. Appointed by then-Governor Chris Christie to streamline the state's cumbersome regulatory structure, Rebuck responded by working closely with industry executives to remove unnecessary regulations and bureaucracy. He oversaw the introduction of legal online gaming in 2013, the closing of 5 Atlantic City casinos a year later, and most recently, the reopening of 2 casinos and the legalization of sports betting. He spoke with me at his offices in Atlantic City in July. Dave Rebuck, thanks for joining us on the podcast again. I think you're our record interviewee. I think we've interviewed done more podcasts with you than anybody else, and that's saying a lot. And we're coming up to 12 years now we've been doing podcasts, so congratulations on that.
Thanks. Hope to stay in the lead here if I can.
Well, you know, last year when we met, I was kind of assuming that this would be the last time we met as it was you being the director of the DGE. We had the new governor coming in. We didn't know who it was at that point, but we knew there was definitely going to be a change in administration, and yet here you still are. So, tell us what your relationship is with the new governor, if you've gotten any indication of whether he's going to keep you on for any amount of time.
Yeah, it's been a great relationship. Governor Murphy is... obviously hit the ground running, got very much involved with casino gaming, with the sports litigation case. Has an excellent staff. The Attorney General Grewal is just my direct boss, as you know.
Right.
Has been just a great asset in working with the division and helping us to continue to perform the duties that we're required to perform under law. So it's been a... It's been quite a hectic 6 months since the governor's taken over, and I've had a very good working relationship with not only the governor's office staff, but also the attorney general's office. So we have a lot of things to do, and I've had every indication to me from my superiors in the administration just to continue to do what we've been doing well and keep up the good work. So
great.
Politics, what it is.
You never know.
You never know. But my theory on life is we do the best we can. And I certainly have had tremendous support from the administration to continue doing what we've been trying to do down here in Atlantic City since 2011.
Sure. Great. Well, I'm glad that you recognize the job you're doing, and that putting somebody else in place might put a little bump in the road. And so I think it's one of the things that he's done very well so far. So
thank you.
I'm glad that's happened.
Thank you.
So let's talk about what's happened in Atlantic City just in the last month. Let's start with the new casinos. Opened up at the end of the month, both on the same day, and both the people running those casinos had great things to say about you and your team. Tell us how hectic that was, though, coming up to opening them, because there was a lot of pressure on to get them open.
It was a crazy time. When we spoke last year, I think we knew that Hard Rock was on target to open a new casino with the $600 million renovation of the old Taj Mahal.
Right.
We were very confident in having that done and approved through the Casino Control Commission, and the construction timetable they had established was putting them square in the mix of sometime in June of 2018. That wasn't our concern. We'd already approved the Seminole Tribe. We'd already approved Jim Allen and others who had applied for a statement of compliance previously, which would have authorized them to open a casino. We just didn't have the specific facts at the time. So relatively straightforward. If that had been the only work that we had on our plate to be ready, we would have been a lot less pressured to get things done. We also were very much aware of that time, the litigation associated with the potential decision by the Supreme Court. We didn't know when the hearing was going to be taken, I think, at that time. We knew that cert had been given, but that all started to roll together, and December came, and after the December 4th hearing, I think the general sense of those who attended was that the state did a very good job through Ted Olson and making our arguments known with clarity before the court. And there's a general sense of optimism coming out of that hearing that New Jersey might have pulled lightning out of a bottle, right, and we're going to win this case. Didn't know when the decision would come down, obviously, but going into 2018, I think most of us were looking at a decision coming out sometime around May.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully, we were hoping not June.
Right.
So May 14th, we got the decision.
Right.
And then the third piece of the puzzle on this tsunami of work was the sale by Glenn Straub to Bruce Steifick,
right,
of the old Rebel.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was completely uncertain through the period of time in 18. It was stop and go in many areas. There was a sense it would happen, and it didn't happen until the last minute. It essentially happened 15 minutes before the deadline for the agreement, and it happened in January. And once it happened in January, there were a lot of naysayers that the state and the Dyfics would be unable to pull together all that they needed to pull together to open a casino by the summer. So that was really very stressful, because I don't know if the division and the commission have ever approved a license to open a casino in such a short period of time, and that was very stressful. And we got it done.
Right.
And I'm very optimistic that we did the right thing in getting it done quickly, and I think the state's well protected for integrity on all three of those areas. But yeah, if I had it over to do over again, I want to have them all come together in June 24th. So, but it's behind us, and it's exciting, and there's a vibe here in the city. You've seen it, you've felt it. There's a general sense of optimism amongst the workers. All three of these things to combine together at once makes it very, very positive in Atlantic City. And it helps us in many other areas as we try to grow the market here in other areas, whether it be gaming or non-gaming, bring about new interest to have people move here, as well as businesses maybe relocate here. And, you know, it's just, it's a much different atmosphere that existed 3 years ago.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's talk about the new casinos first. You know, when Glenn Straub owned Revel, he must have been a source of frustration for you with his insistence that he didn't need to be licensed, and you know, some of the crazy ideas he had for the building, whether they was gaming or non-gaming. How relieved were you when that deal was done?
Very pleased.
Yeah.
Very pleased. There's no doubt in my mind that under his ownership that that dog building would still be dark today.
Yeah.
Which is a tragedy, because there is really truly opportunity there. And we had our differences, and they were well known in public. And he had his ideas, and I had my responsibilities under law, and we definitely had a conflict, and that was played out in public. So truly, with a new buyer coming in, I was very optimistic that the deal would get done, and bound and determined to this administration, and my division in particular, would mm-hmm. not in any way pose an impediment to the DIFICS in their plan of operation.
Right.
So it became personal to mm-hmm. make it happen,
right.
and we made it happen, and I wish him all the best luck. But
sure.
he has now to perform the way that 8 other casinos do, and mm-hmm. and I'm very optimistic that they'll have every chance for success in this very competitive market.
Well, he's got a good team in place, and they have a lot of Atlantic City experience, starting with Frank Leone on down.
Did that
give you some comfort that these people knew Atlantic City?
Yeah, I think more so than Hard Rock, a lot of the key leaders that were hired, key mm-hmm. employees hired by Ocean,
yeah.
were individuals who had a background in it, working in Atlantic City
right.
casinos,
mm-hmm.
And already vetted. But for circumstances beyond their control, you know, they really were very optimistic now
sure,
to
right.
have a new job and have a new opportunity. And, you know, I give Mr. Dyfick a lot of credit in that, you know, he saw the handwriting on the wall with an opportunity in sports wagering, took a big risk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of all the properties in Atlantic City, he's the only one that began constructing a sports lounge.
Right.
Immediately mm-hmm. when he took over property ownership, and he will have the first full-blown sports lounge beyond for any other property.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he will, I mean, he's already operational now as construction is going around. You've
right.
seen the place.
Right.
But I believe that by the end of this month, by early August, he will have a full-blown 7,500-square-foot sports lounge with his spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a crown jewel to that property.
Yeah.
He's also taken some risks with some other areas and amenities that don't exist anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
He's expanded the non-gaming offerings there.
Right.
And, you know, they just rolled out their internet gaming website. It's in mm-hmm. test mode as we speak.
Right.
But with any, you know how that is. We have 5 days of review of that, and probably by this time next week, they'll be passed in under GAN as the mm-hmm. platform,
right.
which we all familiar with. So
right.
that'll give him another amenity. So
mm-hmm.
they have internet gaming, sports wagering full blown, and he has a very nice property, very modern property. And so in the next 2 or 3 weeks, he's full blown.
Right, exactly.
And I'm very optimistic for them.
Great. So Hard Rock, you know, did the entire renovation of the property.
Massive job.
An amazing amount of time.
Just construction is, people go in there, as you've gone in there.
Right, sure. Right.
It's not what it ever was before.
No. And you know, the redesign is very pleasing to the eye. Did an interview with Matt Harkness last week. And,
sure.
He explained, you know, how they designed the whole thing. I forget what he called it. Something centric or something. But,
it was crazy.
Yeah.
You know that.
Right.
We were in there walking the property Friday before they went in the soft play. I walked the property with the construction agents and Jim Allen and
mm-hmm.
his senior staff. And we sent a very stern message to the construction teams that what needed to be done.
Right, yeah.
And 1 week later when it opened, well, less than that, probably
right.
six days later when it opened to the general public, full-blown, you wouldn't have recognized what had been done from the Friday before.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, lots of credit to everybody
right.
associated with that property to get it up and operational. Massive amount of work
mm-hmm.
and great leadership team they have there under Jim Allen, of course.
Right. Yeah, I was there Tuesday on the soft play day, and I said, I think it'll be open in 2 days. How are they going to do that? You know, and they pulled it off, though. It's,
yes, they did. They did a great job.
Yeah, no question. A credit to their team. So, was the tribal component there any issue when it came to licensing?
No.
It's kind of like Mohegan at resorts.
Yeah, the Trump Mohegans have been involved as an
mm-hmm.
partial ownership
right.
interest at resorts.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Seminoles are a different position. But we had looked at them previously under
mm-hmm.
a statement of compliance
right.
before they even began to apply for an
mm-hmm.
operational license. You saw how we treated that in the public hearing before the commission. So we're very comfortable with the licensing of the Seminole Tribe and the oversight we have of their responsibilities as they work with, you know, the team here in Atlantic City to run the property. So I'm very comfortable where we are with our review, and it's public, and I think it stands up to anybody who wants to look at it, and if Seminoles are going to be reaching out into other jurisdictions on a more full-blown method than what they have done in others.
Right.
So
okay.
We're very good here with them.
Okay. So without being too negative here, how concerned are you that, you know, we've massively expanded the gaming supply here and maybe the demand might not follow? You know, we don't want to see any other casinos close, but, you know, you never know.
Right. I've had that question asked, Roger, to me by a lot of people. Can the seventh casino market obviously would work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all know that. You
right.
can read the numbers for yourself. It's been coming out for the last 2 years since Taj closed.
Mm-hmm.
Even before Taj closed, we had an eight casino market, and I think if you looked at the numbers when we had stability in 2015, eight casino market could work.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the numbers. They speak for themselves.
Right.
So now we go up to nine, and the question is, can you sustain a nine casino market? And I don't know, but I will say this to you. I really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it does. But I will say one thing to anybody who wants to come into this market, and that is, this market, if you cannot compete and do well in Atlantic City,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't be in the business of running a casino.
Right.
We have a very low tax rate, second only to Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
We have the best regulations in the country when it comes to regulating and overseeing and working with the industry so that there's not these oppressive and onerous regulatory costs or ridiculous standards that are in play that people don't even understand why the regulation exists.
Mm-hmm.
Very modern system of regulation. There are more gaming opportunities by a casino here than anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
We have sports wagering now.
Right.
We have full-blown internet gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has that
but Delaware
and us. And, of course, you see for yourself what other products they want to offer in your traditional games,
mm-hmm.
whether it be slots, poker, you name the game, it's here.
Right. And there we got
so the nobody has what we offer for diversity of product anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's non-gaming amenities, we're second only to Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never meet in Las Vegas, number one, will always be number one. But any place else in the country,
mm-hmm.
we have more non-gaming amenities of quality and substance than any place else anywhere.
Right.
And so if you're going to compete here, the bar's been raised, so the properties here know, you better pull your game up if you want to compete. And
mm-hmm.
if you can't, and if you can't make it, somebody else will have a chance to come in and replace you.
Right.
And, you know, in the past, it was very easy for the operators to blame the regulators, to blame the state. You know, we prevented innovation.
Sure,
we prevented forward thinking. We were inflexible. Nothing's further from the truth here. And this is a model for the rest of the country if they want to duplicate, because the industry is very robust here now. It's a mature industry, and the our concerns 40 years ago, although they still exist today, are not our primary concerns.
Mm-hmm.
We have other concerns on how these businesses operate.
Sure. Okay.
But we still always watch out for the integrity and the negative influence from criminal elements. That's never ever going away.
No. Right, of course not. Right. Okay. Well, let's talk about sports betting. You know, we know the December hearing seemed to indicate it was leaning in the direction that PASPA would be overturned, but we didn't know for sure, but you had to be prepared. So I'm sure you started, you know, digging into the regulations and how it operates and things like that.
Right.
But you know, when it actually happened and then the New Jersey legislature met to decide what the actual law would be, there was a lot of crazy things going around. you couldn't bet on New Jersey teams, you know.
Well, the New Jersey team prohibition, it was put in the constitutional question back in 2011.
Right.
So we couldn't get around that, and I've always was questioning myself, because I was around then, I said, like, why is this in here, this question? Mm-hmm. And there's, you'll have to ask Senator Lesniak, but there's two reasons, and I don't know which one's true. But the first reason why it was in there was because there was a concern that the question that was going to the voters at the time, you wanted to have a certainty that they would accept
right.
the question,
sure.
and that was one of the gives to allow for mm-hmm. the citizens of the state to recognize that, you know, maybe I'll vote for this because it might protect my child who's right. attending one of the local state universities. The second issue I've heard people say, well, it's in there because Nevada has it.
Right.
And I said, well, that's not really true because Nevada eliminated it. They used to have that, right, but they eliminated right. it a long time ago.
Right.
So I think probably Senator Lesniak would be the first to say, we'll probably put it in there as a strategic way politically right. to make sure the question passed. Mm-hmm. And as you know, the question passed 2-1,
right.
so it's there. It's a prohibition. It's set by our Constitution, and essentially it can't be changed unless the voters change it in the future, and we'll just live with it for the mm-hmm. time being.
Right.
So the second part of your question, or the first part, was, you know, were we prepared? Of course we were prepared.
Right.
I mean, New Jersey's been in this fight to legalize sports wagering since essentially 2009.
Mm-hmm.
You could write a book about it with
right.
all the gyrations that went through from 2009 until the decision came out this May. So, yes, of course we were ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain basic research you do. I had staff visiting foreign countries. I had staff in Nevada. We were looking at best practices in those jurisdictions that are well recognized in the gaming community as being superior to others. And we made a decision was we are not going to duplicate any one system
right.
of regulation.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take the best from each.
Right.
We're going to have a much different than what exists in Nevada. We're going to be different than UK. We're probably going to be different than Australia. You know, we didn't go to Denmark. We heard they have a great system, but I couldn't, you know, got to the point where we just couldn't travel all these exotic locations. So, absolutely, we had a game plan, regulations drafted, anticipating what legislation may look like
right.
in the future, and that was well developed. And I had made a promise to both Governor Christie and Governor Murphy that, should we win the case, and knowing that a new law would need to be passed
right.
if we were going to regulate
sure.
it, that they would have in their hands, when that legislation was passed, a full set of regulations implementing that law.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he did.
Right.
And that's why when the governor signed the law on June 11th, the regulations were out.
Right.
On June 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And we did some last-minute edits
sure.
for that period of time from
right.
when the bills were introduced and as they were changed, as you held out, there were
yeah.
changes all over
there
the place.
Were, yeah.
It got to the point where I told staff, stop the editing, I can't. I mean, it's going to change again.
Yeah.
So we had a little window there after the final bill was mm-hmm. passed by the Assembly and the Senate. Before the governor signed it, that we made the last-minute adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we had some... There were some interesting times there.
Okay,
we had
yeah.
one day where we realized that probably six casinos would not be able to have sports wagering
right,
because
yeah.
of all the ownership interest
yeah.
in sports mm-hmm. leagues' teams. And we had guys coming out of the woodwork on that one going, Dave, I got a bad news for you. I think our owner has a 1% interest in the New York Yankees. And I'm like, yeah, you got a problem right now. So that all worked itself out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's the nature of the beast
of course,
in legislation.
Right, right.
You've been through it.
Yeah.
So... I think we have a great law now,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we will live with that law, and I'm very convinced if the state sees that there's problems with the law that are causing it difficulty in being as successful as everybody wants this to be in New Jersey, that I'm sure that the policymakers will consider the problems and adjust accordingly
yeah.
where they can.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
So expanded your oversight into the racetrack area. The first time I think you've overseen any type of betting at a racetrack. Has that caused you any difficulties, or do you just have to add a couple of people on staff then for that?
Well, I haven't added anybody yet,
yeah.
but no, and people have to understand, and maybe your listeners don't, that in the Attorney General of the state of New Jersey, the Attorney General oversees the Division of Gaming
mm-hmm.
Enforcement.
Right.
Attorney General also oversees the New Jersey Racing Commission.
Right.
And so sister agencies reporting to the Attorney General. Sure. Very right. easy to work with. Mm-hmm. The law makes it very clear that other than the initial licensing of mm-hmm. the racetrack,
right.
everything comes to DGE.
Yeah.
And the good news is Monmouth Park is going great guns mm-hmm. with their operations for the last month. This weekend,
right.
the Meadowlands,
yep.
which is the second racetrack in the state to become operational, start taking sports bets on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a great partner
right.
in Paddy Power Betfair merger, plus now they've mm-hmm. added FanDuel that just closed last night.
Right.
The merger, and I expect great things from both racetracks and being very successful in the sports wagering application. They've been very aggressive, both of them, and quite honestly, they're pushing the casinos to pick up their game
yeah.
to compete
mm-hmm.
In this marketplace.
Right. I've been kind of surprised that, you know, we've only seen the two casinos in Atlantic City with books right now. You know, that Caesars hasn't jumped on the game as quickly as you thought they would have. I know Trop's in the middle of a possible sale there, so they might be a little delayed. But, you know, any idea why, you know, we haven't seen them move more quickly? It's not regulation. I know that, right?
No, it's not the regulations. Let me say this. I think that with the casinos themselves, I think they're being very deliberate, fairly conservative in their rollout, and they're taking their time because they're trying to build what I would say a perfect offering
mm-hmm.
with the realization that most of them have opportunities in other states also.
Right.
So they'll be taking a multi-state approach
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the racetracks, probably not.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and that makes sense.
The racetracks also, as you well know, have a more sense of urgency because of the financial predicaments they
right.
find themselves in
mm-hmm.
with the state of racing, horse racing,
right.
not only in New Jersey, but,
sure.
you know, probably throughout the country. So, we've had a number of heart-to-heart discussions. I've mm-hmm. met with every casino operator, expressed my concern that I need them to be a bit more aggressive
mm-hmm.
in New Jersey.
Sure.
We've been at this for a long time, and I'm fairly optimistic that they have all now gotten my message and are picking up the pace considerably.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little disappointed, because I've said this before to others who were on a panel. I worked very closely with the casinos back in after the decision, before the decision, after the argument was made in December. I was obviously at the Supreme Court hearing. I came out of there very optimistic and made a lot of commitments to the governor at that time
mm-hmm.
and others that we would be prepared.
Right.
And I had meetings with mm-hmm. all the casino operators. And I gave them three assignments in January.
Mm-hmm.
And the assignments were very clear. One, develop your plan for a temporary sports book. At least have on the books through your architect, your facilities managers of your property, where are you going to put your sports book?
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you a temporary one. You don't have to build a permanent one before
right.
you go live. I will build that into the regulations if we win this case. But you need to have a temporary book.
Yeah.
So you need to have
sure.
a game plan,
mm-hmm.
design, have contracts ready to be let, you know, if you need major construction. Two, whoever you're going to have a little partner, and you're all going to have partners.
Right.
To do sports wagering, whether it be a business-to-business company or a business-to-consumer company, at the very least, begin the dialogue with who you're going to select, if you haven't selected them already, because
mm-hmm.
you maybe have them in Nevada, and do this. Make sure they get into New Jersey in advance, because we can have you come in and apply for a license
right.
in anticipation of a victory. Get them in. Mm-hmm. You're going to be dealing with foreign companies. You're more than likely going to have skins. You're going to have people coming to you that aren't here today.
Right.
And you don't want to be in a predicament of having somebody walk in on the day of the decision and saying, oh, I'm here and I'd like to apply for a license. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I told them to do is develop your model statute now.
Yeah.
Because certainly the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the PGA were at that time putting the out right. model statute mm-hmm. when it comes to sports wagering for what they were wanting.
Right.
Said, you need to have a model statute too, and mm-hmm. you need to have your lobbyists working with the administration and the new administration and the policymakers and the legislature to have an understanding of what sports wagering is, what your needs are, and don't let other people run to them and tell them on your behalf because you're not going to get your message through.
Right.
Sadly, I think they ignored all three of those suggestions, and you saw what happened with the legislature.
Right. Yep.
There was a yep. lot of confusion.
There was, yeah.
We got tax rate right. We got things mm-hmm. right off the box, but there was confusion mm-hmm. in certain of the provisions. And it were corrected, but, yeah. you know, I blame the industry.
Yeah.
You were not as aggressive as you needed to be. Mm-hmm. I don't think many of them have books ready to make construction.
Right, yeah.
And we have a lot of business-to-customer companies coming in last minute, and we have mobile applications that have basically been, they're not even in yet. Mm-hmm. So it's been slow. There's been a sense of frustration by me a little. I'm a patient person. I haven't taken it out too hard on some. Others I think I have, but I'll let them explain to you who they are. I think we're on the right track now.
Right, right.
And I'm very optimistic now and telling the industry, I'm going to have a very robust situation here with sports wagering. Certainly, I know they want it by the start of football season. Mm-hmm. I want it before then.
Right.
I want to be very aggressive, and I want to have New Jersey be a leader in this area so that by the time we hit the end of the fourth quarter of 19, I want New Jersey to be in a position where I want New Jersey to maybe be the leader in the country. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Sure.
Got a big hurdle to follow. Nevada is number one.
Right.
No doubt about it. But Nevada, I think we Nevada can push Nevada.
People and,
I think we can push Nevada.
Yeah.
Where we can surpass Nevada if we can get things right. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that because I want this state to be a leader. I want people to recognize this state as a leader. And I want to work with other states as they begin to roll their sports wagering out.
Sure.
So the industry has heard that loud and clear. This is not about Dave Rebuck. This is about the state of New Jersey. I want the state of New Jersey to be number one, and that's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and great. So I think we got a shot.
Yeah, no question. You got to get that mobile up and running, though.
We got to get the mobile up and running.
You gave them 30 days, and
it's very key. It's key.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I agree 100%. We don't have any that are ready. We have very few that are even in. Mm-hmm. It's a level of frustration that they understand, and I'm fairly optimistic we're going to start getting hammered.
Right.
You got to be careful what you ask for. Now right. my staff's going to be
right.
not real happy with me because for the rest of the summer,
yeah,
they're not going to be taking much vacation.
Right.
Because we're gonna get this up.
Yeah. So is your lab already testing these things? Or
yeah.
The ones that are in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I remain very optimistic, but by the end of July, we will have a mobile application mm-hmm. up, operating, tested, and available to the citizens of New Jersey, to residents of New Jersey, and anybody who wants to come in from the state of New York or Pennsylvania to play in New Jersey.
There you go. How many skins are allowed in the sports betting bill?
Three.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, there's you got it. We have 14 potential licensees when
okay.
you look at the law.
Right.
You have the 9 existing casinos. Mm-hmm. You have the 3 existing racetracks. Mm-hmm. And you have 2 former racetracks that will have to be licensed somehow by the Racing Commission if
right.
they want to have sports wagering.
Right, okay.
So at this point in time, Unfortunately, of the 14, we have three operators today, which are terminal operations only. Mm-hmm. We're doing operations that are essentially 50 years old with business practices that have been done in Nevada since the 70s.
Right. Yeah.
So we're not very robust right. in New Jersey. In fact, we're very rudimentary today. Yeah. It works. We'll have a fourth on Saturday, and again, terminal only.
Right.
And the numbers come out today. You'll see them for yourself. Mm-hmm. They're going to blow people away.
Yeah.
We're off to a stunning start.
Yeah.
You'll see the numbers for yourself. I can't disclose them until 2 o'clock.
I'm at first day.
Okay. So I'm just telling you, with doing things the way that you used to do banking, old guys like you and me. Remember how we used to do banking in the 70s? Okay?
Right.
We're doing sports wagering the way they used to do it in the 70s.
Right.
We're going to definitely see a huge increase in play once we move into the 21st century.
Okay. Great. Let's move to iGaming now. We got two more casinos that have just opened.
Yeah.
Let's see, one in testing mode here.
What
does that give us, 26 sites altogether?
Oh, my God.
26, 28?
Curry, I don't even remember.
I
can't keep count.
Yeah,
you're probably right.
I think it's somewhere around there.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's like around 27, yeah.
Is that too many, though? I mean,
I love the competition.
Yeah?
No. I'll keep taking more.
Yeah.
And those who can't compete and fall by the wayside, see you later.
Yeah.
But the market, we all acknowledge that if the games themselves and the market, because it's only limited primarily right now to New Jersey, we have a liquidity agreement for game of poker. We could have a liquidity agreement for other forms of peer-to-peer games, but we just don't have a mass outside of three states.
Right.
And so at some point in time, yes, it will level off. We'll flatline.
Right.
Haven't seen it yet. My guess is with sports wagering coming on, it'll be hard to predict when we level, because as sports wagering comes off, it's going to drive those numbers up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to really dive deep into the figures to know what's, you're comparing apples to apples.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
So only time will tell, Roger. But I would anticipate in the future it will level off.
Yeah. Yeah,
it will. But we haven't seen it. Again, you'll see the numbers today. Another double-digit month up over last year. So it's got to end at some point in time. But right now, it hasn't ended.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, the products are becoming more sophisticated. You know, there's a lot of innovation going on. Marketing has certainly improved. You know, the affiliate market, I know, from my end, is working very well. So
we're very happy.
Yeah.
You know, we have little issues. Well, you know, when you're a government agent and a regulator, you have little issues every day.
Sure, right.
And you want to keep them little.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had a major blow up. We haven't had a major scandal. Yes, we've had crime committed. Yes, we've had identity thefts. Yes, we deal with technical issues, software problems that go haywire, and we get upset with the operators.
Mm-hmm.
We protect the consumers,
right.
But it's the nature of the business, okay?
Right.
Any business that you have, if you have 100% perfection to the consuming public, God bless you.
Yeah.
But no, this is 5 years we're coming up on now.
Sure.
Five years.
Right.
And, you know, we had an issue the other day with an operator that made a software change and things went the wrong way. We took the site down.
Yeah.
And probably people saw that and wondered why. Well, the site went back up because we didn't fix it.
Yeah,
they
fixed it.
Because we were upset with the way that a safeguard could have been circumvented.
Mm-hmm.
So what took them down? That's a lesson learned. You're down.
Right.
Fix it.
Yeah.
We're not taking that risk.
Sure.
And so they learned a hard lesson, and they're back home.
Okay. So the poker liquidity question, has the cross-border thing helped with that at all?
Yeah, I think it has.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so low-key.
I mean,
you only really have one operator right now that can even take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're very happy.
Yeah, sure.
they have Monopoly. We've had a lot of good discussions with Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pennsylvania will be a great asset We have certainly had a conversation with the gaming board there. They have a copy of the multi-state liquidity agreement. It's been signed by the three governors of the 16 states. They clearly understand that the Governor Wolf of Pennsylvania, if he so chooses, would need to sign on to the liquidity agreement. I'm not aware of any significant issues. I think it's just a matter of timing. They have a lot of issues there in Pennsylvania. They're trying to roll out internet gaming. You know, they got to be singularly focused on getting it right. I think it's just a matter of time. I would not be surprised sometime this year that Pennsylvania joins, just because it's the right thing to do.
Sure.
And the system works. And I'm hoping maybe if Pennsylvania comes on, that maybe there will be other operators who have poker platforms that will see the opportunity to partner with Pennsylvania and maybe open up businesses in the other states.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think there's an opportunity there, and Pennsylvania holds a very important role in the key.
Sure.
Because we need them.
Right.
They'll double the size in the market.
Yeah, no question. Do you think the sports betting movement now, we've seen it legalized in a couple of states now, and a lot more are interested, do you think that's going to spur the development of iGaming much more quickly?
I've said that a long time ago.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Because once you can bet on your phone, mobile, on a sports bet, why not just play a slot machine?
You and I know, you've been involved in this, all the safeguards that are built into online sports wagering that exist in Nevada today, and all the safeguards that exist in casino game on internet gaming in New Jersey today,
right.
They're the same.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same. Geolocation, know your customer, underage protections, identity theft protocols, fraud protocols, consumer protection protocols, credit checks, money laundering checks. They're all the same.
Yeah, right.
We're doing exact. The only difference, it's the game itself.
Right.
And Nevada knows that. New Jersey knows that. Delaware knows that. And as other states learn and have a comfort with those safeguards, they'll come on board. And I think that some of the states won't move into online gambling on sports, but others will.
Right.
And I don't think Mississippi will. But I do believe West Virginia will.
Mm-hmm.
Rhode Island, I just can't tell. You know, through their lottery.
Yeah,
okay?
That's hard.
It's a little different.
Your hand around, yeah.
Pennsylvania tax. Clearly will.
Yeah.
You know, if they can get up and operating, they have other issues with their
tax rate.
You know, tax rate, as you said.
Right.
But, you know, they do. They authorize it. Who else will be next up? I don't know. If the numbers come out strong as we move through the year,
right,
you're going to see other states look at this and say one thing to themselves. If they can do it,
right,
why can't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can.
Right.
They can.
Yeah.
And I think this is definitely a growth industry on both retail as well as online. And then once you have the online sports and you don't have the online games, somebody's going to make the jump because they're going to say, it's the same thing. It's just a different game. And you're going to be able to play out of the same wallet. And you're going to expand your base. So the B2B companies, the B2C companies, they're already doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're already doing it. So it'll happen. It's going to just take time because we're a little more conservative in our approach in the United States than other jurisdictions overseas.
Okay. Well, I have some other questions, but I'm going to hold them till next year because they're a little more general and not as time sensitive as we just discussed. So I want to thank you for the time.
Yeah.
It's been great to visit with you, and hopefully you'll still be on here next year when I come visit in the summertime. So.
Well, before you leave, I just want to highlight something that I know is going to be a big issue for everybody in the United States, and that is this issue of integrity.
Right.
All right, and
that was one of my questions, actually.
Here's my point on integrity. The state gaming regulators have focused on integrity in the industry of gambling for 40-plus years,
right.
More than that in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to those who run gambling, we oversee it as well as anybody. Mm-hmm. It's not an issue of integrity. We remain focused on integrity.
Right.
We are concerned with
integrity. It's the most important issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beyond that, then, when you talk about integrity, there are, in the legal sports wagering world, there's new challenges. We got it. There's integrity concerns by the operators, mm-hmm. the gaming operators. There's integrity concerns by the leagues. There's integrity concerns for us as regulators, and there are integrity concerns for law enforcement agencies, local, state, federal.
Mm-hmm.
All these groups, at some point in time, are going to have to get together and form partnerships.
Right.
We can't do it independent of them.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do it independent of us.
Right.
And we got to start opening those lines of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's opened those lines of dialogue right now because a lot of us are still focused on trying to determine if we can get this up and operating.
Right.
But the time is going to be right very shortly
mm-hmm.
where those dialogues got to be open, honest, and they have to be fruitful in protecting everybody's interests.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of debate on that. And at this point in time, I can assure you that in New Jersey, we're going to be working with other state regulators to have everybody understand these partnerships and dialogue have to occur, and they got to occur uniformly mm-hmm. and with consistency.
Right.
And that we're not going to get forum shopped.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to have a plan to have best practices to do it right. Because, you know, I understand the league's concerned with match fixing and integrity.
Sure.
I got it.
Right.
I understand the concern with fraud and money laundering and cheating and consumer protections that the gaming operators have because people aren't trust the game.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to wager.
Right.
And then everybody understands our concerns. And law enforcement, of course, is going to get pulled into this big time.
Right.
So we're going to work on that. And I think I really am optimistic that the cooler heads will prevail. And people will begin to focus on the real issues of what is needed as opposed to the sidebar issues where people are looking for commercial benefits
right.
and commercial
mm-hmm.
Rewards and using integrity as a way to benefit themselves.
Right.
Okay. So I'll let the commercial interests take care of themselves through the traditional ways
sure.
of commercial interests being taken care of.
Right.
Where the partners or those who are engaged in business agree commercially on who gets paid what.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
We only want to know who gets paid.
Right. and that they perform their duties.
There you go.
There you go.
So, hopefully by next year, we're in a better position on that topic.
Okay, great. Well, we'll talk about it next year.
All right.
Thanks for the time.
Great time. See you later.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliated marketing service for land-based and online casinos and now sports betting in North America. To learn more about the service, visit iGamingPlayer.com/join. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. You can learn more about this and all subjects related to gaming by visiting GGBMagazine.com. For weekly updates on the gaming industry, visit GGBNews.com. And follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz and on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. That's it for today. We'll see you next week on the GGB Podcast.